Hello, everyone. Welcome to Steadfast Baptist Church. Thank you for coming this evening to the last service of our Anti-Israel Conference. I'm glad that you're here. It's good to see you. Let's find our seats and turn in our hymn books to Song 410, Faith is the Victory. Page 410 in your hymn books, Faith is the Victory. Page 410, Faith is the Victory. Let's all sing it out to the Lord on that verse.
And cares along the hills of life, he brings the soul to rise. And rests the battle where the man shall veil the glorious prize. Against the rolling hills below, let all the great be heard. Faith is the victory we know, that overcomes the world. Faith is the victory.
Singing, everyone. Let's open up the service with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Steadfast Baptist Church and all those who traveled far to come and support this conference. Lord, we ask that you just open the scriptures once more again tonight and help to edify us as believers. We thank you for your truths and your mercy towards us as Christians. Thank you for the souls that were saved this afternoon. We pray that you bless the fellowship and the remainder of our time here together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen.
Our second song, page 210, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Page 210, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. Page 210, sing it out loud with us on that verse.
Wonderful Grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. Thank you.
Thank you for being here at Steadfast Baptist Church. If you didn't already get a bulletin and you would like one, well, you can lift up your hand nice and high. One of our ushers can come by. And thank you so much for staying with us for our conference. If you've endured to the end, you will be saved. So there you go. We have our announcements. If you had been in there, we have our welcome center still has shirts out there. If you wanted to grab one extra one, you can. We also still have our backdrop. If you didn't get to take any pictures, please do. But you have to be a part of the Baptist Bias. That's the only way you can take a picture out there. Upcoming events, so if you haven't heard already, we have several soul winning events you can join us with. July 2nd through the 4th is Springdale, Arkansas is a soul winning marathon. And then Mesquite, Texas, we have one on August 22nd. September 7th through the 12th is a Barbados missions trip. And then if you use the valet parking, they're going to try and bring up your cars closer. But if it is still raining after the service, you know, just check with them and they'll try to help you get into your car. If you have any questions, please ask any of our maroon jackets. They'll be able to help you. And then on the right is just our schedule. We did end up switching some things around, and we really appreciate Pastor Thompson for being here for the conference and sticking with us. He's going to be preaching for us this evening and maybe even all the way till tomorrow, I heard. So I don't know. He definitely, sometimes he has the spirit of Pastor Shelley come upon him at Steadfast, so we appreciate that. And he's been a great friend of ours, and we really appreciate his friendship and appreciate the great sermons this morning. Thank you, Pastor Bruce Mejia, for being here, and Pastor Reyes for your contributions as well. And so we let the minorities go first, and then we bring in the white relief afterwards. So. No, we really appreciate everybody for being here. Thanks so much. It's been a great conference, and I want to thank everybody for visiting. I also want to thank our church family. You know, a lot of people have thanked me for this conference, but to be honest, it is a lot of other people that ran this conference and really put it together, all the decorating and all the ballet and the organization and the music and everything. And so really appreciate our church. Thank you guys so much for allowing us to have a conference like this. I've been complimented a lot, and I don't deserve it, so I'm just the messenger here. A lot of people have really enjoyed the conference, and so thank you guys to putting on this event. That's pretty much all I have as far as announcements. We're going to go ahead and sing our psalm for the evening. It's Psalm 58. It's in our psalm books. So if you'd like to pull those out, Psalm 58.
Psalm 58 will be on page 5. Psalm 58. Psalm 58, let's all sing it out together on that verse.
Do you indeed speak righteousness? O congregation, do ye interpret my deed?
great singing. At this time, the offering plates will be passed around. You can turn your Bibles to John chapter 8. Again, that's John chapter 8.
John chapter 8, the Bible says, Jesus went unto the Mount of Olives, and early in the morning he came again into the temple, and all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribes and Pharisees brought unto him a woman taken in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they say unto him, Master, this woman was taken in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what sayest thou? This they said, tempting him, that they might have to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down, and with his finger wrote on the ground, as though he heard them not. So when they continued asking him, he lifted up himself and said unto them, He that is without sin among you, let him first cast a stone at her. And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. And they which heard it, being convicted by their own conscience, went out one by one, beginning at the eldest, even unto the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had lifted up himself, and saw none but the woman, he said unto her, Woman, where are those thine accusers? Hath no man condemned thee? She said, No man, Lord. And Jesus said unto her, Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself, thy record is not true. Jesus answered and said unto them, Though I bear record of myself, yet my record is true. For I know whence I came and whither I go. But ye cannot tell whence I come and whither I go. Ye judge after the flesh. I judge no man. And yet if I judge, my judgment is true, for I am not alone, but I and the Father that sent me. It is also written in your law that the testimony of two men is true. I am one that bear witness of myself, and the Father that sent me beareth witness of me. Then said they unto him, Where is thy Father? Jesus answered, Ye neither know me nor my Father. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. These words spake Jesus in the treasury, as he taught in the temple, and no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and shall die in your sins. Whither I go, ye cannot come. Then said the Jews, Will he kill himself? Because he saith, Whither I go, ye cannot come. And he said unto them, Ye are from beneath, I am from above. Ye are of this world, I am not of this world. I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins. For if ye believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, Who art thou? And Jesus saith unto them, Even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you. But he that sent me is true, and I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, When ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If ye continue in my word, Then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth forever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but ye seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and ye do that which ye have seen with your father. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, If ye were Abraham's children, ye would do the works of Abraham. But now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, We be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. Jesus said unto them, If God were your father, ye would love me. For I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do ye not understand my speech? Even because ye cannot hear my word. Ye are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do ye not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because ye are not of God. Then answered the Jews and said unto him, Say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil? Jesus answered, I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me. And I seek not mine own glory. There is one that seeketh and judgeth. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Then said the Jews unto him, Now we know that thou hast a devil. Abraham is dead and the prophets. And thou sayest, if a man keep my saying, he shall never taste of death. Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead? Whom makest thou thyself? Jesus answered, If I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father that honoreth me, of whom ye say that he is your God. Yet ye have not known him, but I know him. And if I should say I know him not, I shall be a liar like unto you. But I know him and keep his saying. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this conference. I want to thank you for all the pastors that have come out and preached to us. Thank you for everyone who has visited. I pray that you would please bless Pastor Thompson now. Please give him great boldness to preach to us, and please help us to be attentive to your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. And amen. I can't see the clock back there, so it's perfect placement on there. So I appreciate that. Pastor Shelley chastises you with whips. I will chastise you with scorpions. The title of my sermon tonight is The Jews and Their Lies. The Jews and Their Lies. And I borrowed this title of my sermon here by Mr. Martin Luther, who made this 65,000-word anti-Semitic this booklet is called Of the Jews and Their Lies, and where he really just goes after the Jews. I mean, I don't have 65,000 words in my sermon tonight, I don't think. It's close, but not quite. So Martin Luther writes this in 1543. I want to say that he died preaching a sermon called this, but I don't know, maybe I'm wrong about that, but I feel like that is maybe true. I don't know. Maybe it's lore. Anyway, Martin Luther, he said that, the Jews were a base whoring people, that is no people of God, and their boast of lineage, circumcision, and law must be accounted as filth. Furthermore, Luther writes that the synagogue has been an incorrigible whore and an evil slut. And so people think that we preach hard. He had some things to say. He wasn't wrong either. So Genesis chapter 10, verse 22, about, you know, people always say, you know, they like to throw the word anti-Semitic over anything that's said against the Jews. But in Genesis 10, 22, you don't have to turn there. It says, the children of Shem, Elam, Assur, and Arphaxad, and Lud, and Aram. What if I was to tell you that the Jews aren't, that's not the only sons of Shem. I like other sons of Shem. I'm not an anti-Shemite. I like other sons of Shem. I like some of the sons of Shem. So just because you don't like things that the Jews say doesn't mean you don't like other Shemites. There's other Shemites that are considered Gentiles. So, you know, there's lots of different Shemites in the world that I do like. So anyway, just saying. But the first 10 sections of Martin Luther's treatise, Luther expounds at considerable length upon his views concerning Jews and Judaism and how these compare to Protestants and Protestant Christianity. Following the exposition, section 11 of the treatise advises Protestants to carry out 7 remedial actions, namely to burn down Jewish synagogues and schools and warn people against them. Number 2, to refuse to let Jews own houses among Christians. Number 3, to take away Jewish religious writings. I would assume that means the Talmud and the Kabbalah. Number 4, to forbid rabbis from preaching. Number 5, to offer no protection to Jews on highways. Number 6, for usury to be prohibited and for all Jews' silver and gold to be removed, put aside for safekeeping and given back to Jews who truly convert. Number 7, to give young, strong Jews flail, axe, spade, and spindle, and let them earn their bread in the sweat of their brow. Right. Luther's essay consistently distinguishes between Jews who accept Christianity, with whom he has no issues, and Jews who practice Judaism. So he's not exactly wrong on some of the things he's saying there, is he? But so I titled this sermon after his treatise here. And the Jews lie about a lot of things, and people say a lot of things that are false about Jews. Even Christians will say things that are not true about Jews. And when I was growing up, I remember people used to say, well, they believe in the same God that we do. They just, you know, they just don't believe in Jesus. And I remember even as a non-Christian, just I heard these things growing up, that that's what they believe. Who heard that growing up? Okay, lots of people. So lie number one, I'm not going to go through all the lies because there's just too many. I don't have 65,000 words in me tonight. So, but I do appreciate everybody praying for me when I was sick. I got a lot of messages and I appreciate that. I'm feeling a lot better. So thank you. But lie number one tonight, they believe in the same God that we do. Now, the Jews' God is the devil. If you were listening during the Bible reading, that was just a great sermon of itself. We could probably just close our Bibles and go on. It was a great, great message by the Lord Jesus Christ there. But we're not going to do that. So look at verse 31 in our text, though, tonight. It says, then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. So who's he talking to? The ones that believed in him. He just got some people saved, and he's trying to disciple them here. And he says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. I know that you're Abraham's seed. So what does Jesus acknowledge that they're Abraham's seed? Yes, he does. But he doesn't mean it in the same way that he is Abraham's seed, I don't think. Because they are related to Abraham by the flesh, but they're not Abraham's seed as in the spiritual seed. It says, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. So he's differentiating between fathers. They answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. Jesus saith unto them, if you were Abraham's children, you would do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. you do the deeds of your father. Then said they to him, we be not born of fornication. We have one father, even God. So what are they saying? They're saying that God is their father, aren't they? Jesus said unto them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but he sent me. Why do you not understand my speech? You can't understand the words that are coming out of my mouth, is what he's saying. Even because you cannot hear my word. You're of your father, the devil. So who's their father? Who's their God? It's the devil. That's what he's saying. He's not talking to the people that he just got saved. He's talking to the people that are always interrupting him and always trying to catch him in his words. The Jews that are following him around everywhere, messing with him, trying to kill him. It says, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and a father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. So they are of their father, the devil. So when people say that the Jews believe in the same God that we do, what did Jesus say? He said, no, they're of their father, the devil. And so when people say that, it's just not true. It's a lie. So that's lie number one, dispelled by Jesus himself in John chapter number 8. Judaism does not believe in the same God. They might claim that they do. They claimed it to Jesus right here, didn't they? They said, Abraham is our father. He said, if Abraham was your father, then you would love me. But they do not love Jesus. In fact, they hate Jesus. In fact, they spit on the ground 3 times when his name is mentioned. In fact, in the Talmud, what does it say about Jesus? They say that he's burning in hell, boiling in hot excrement. That's what they say about Jesus. They say that Mary, his mother, was a whore, and that he was born as a bastard from a Roman centurion, the son of Pantera. Which, yeah, that's a rock band. Well, that's why they named the name of their band Pantera. They say that they call him Balaam. They won't say his name in the Talmud. They'll just say different names for false prophets. They say that he was a black magician. Like, did not black as in black as his color, but as in the type of sorcery he did. Okay, so no offense there. if he was black and he was a magician, he would still be bad, though. But anyway, so let me read on here. It says, and because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Which of you convinceth me of sin? And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me? He that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. So who's right? Jesus or the Jews that say they believe in the same God that we do? Or the people, even Christians, that say this lie all the time, and we grow up thinking these things. Why do we think those things? Because it's a lie that gets told all the time. The Jews tell this lie, and people tell this lie. Even Christians will say this. Even independent fundamental Baptists will tell this same lie too. Even independent fundamental Baptists will do Passover with Jews and let them come into their churches. Who's been to an independent fundamental Baptist church and they've watched a Jew get up and show the Seder or whatever, the Passover, in their church? I've seen it. It's blasphemy. Yeah. We already have a lamb that died for us. Right. Jesus Christ the righteous. Yeah. Why would you do Passover with Jews and let them come into your church and show you that? It's wicked. Yeah. So lie number one is dispelled by Jesus' own words. He flat out says their daddy is the devil. The Judeo-Christian myth is a lie. Right. Lie number two, they are Jews. That's just a lie too. Yeah. They're not Jews. So number two, they are not the real Jews. We are the real Jews. Yes. Christians are the real Jews. Yes. Let's look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 9. I know that some of this is spilling over from other people's sermons, but you know what? I was supposed to preach second, and I can't help it. So some of this is review. Some of this you were paying attention. You weren't paying attention. You were thinking of something else. So anyway, Revelation 2, 9 says, I know thy works, and tribulation and poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. So what is it saying? They say they're Jews and are not. They are not Jews. But yeah, I mean, I've watched people just come up with the weirdest stuff, even on Independent Fundamental Baptist Facebook pages, which I just recently looked at and just like wanted to cringe, super cringe 10,000, just watching the things that they post all the time. It's just really crazy. But blasphemy, how about blasphemy like saying all the stuff that I just got done telling you? The stuff that they say about Jesus in the Talmud. The stuff that they say, oh, we killed someone. So what? You know, he got what he deserved. That's what they say in the Talmud about Jesus. You know, they say this stuff, and then we're supposed to be just okay with that? Oh, so what? We killed someone. Yeah, so what? Well, he was the Son of God. That's so what? He was our Savior. That's so what? He was your Messiah. That's so what? They chose Barabbas instead of Jesus. You know, a lot of people don't realize this, but Barabbas means the son of the Father. That's what it means. I mean, talk about choosing the wrong son of God. Think, because Bar is son of, Abba is father, right? Barabbas. They chose the wrong son of God. He was a murderer and a seditionist, and they chose him over Jesus and let him be crucified. His blood be upon us and upon our children, cursing themselves. Wicked. Look at Revelation 3:9. So what is lie number two? They are Jews. No, they're not. They're not the real Jews. Just like Jesus said, I know you're Abraham's seed, but he's not talking in a spiritual sense. So they're not real Jews in the spiritual sense. Now, Revelation 3:9 says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but what's it say there? But do lie. So what's number two, lie? They're Jews. What's Jesus say? No, but they do lie. They're not Jews. Amen. So Jesus here again is debunking their lie, saying that they're Jews and are not, but do lie. Now let's look at Romans 2:28. Romans 2:28. And forgive me, I didn't get to listen to all the sermons. Sorry, Pastor Oz, I didn't get to listen to your sermon. I know that you preached, what did you preach about? We are God's chosen people. I might spill into that direction here in some of my points here. But anyway, Romans 2:28 says, for he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, that which is outward in the flesh. I heard in your sermon that you said that you, some pervert was on a plane that was a rabbi and he was watching porn or something. That totally destroys my worst experience seeing a rabbi on a plane. But I like slam dunks it. That's disgusting. But mine is way more mild than that. But I was flying to the Philippines and I saw these two, you know, Jews get up at dawn, and then they start wrapping their leather things around their arms and they put their frontlets on their heads and they've got all their Jew clothes on or whatever. And they wanted to show everybody how spiritual they were. This is what they do. They put their wizard outfits on and I don't know, they're like, do you remember that? Okay. So they did that at sunrise to just show how cool they were or whatever. But, you know, why are they doing that? Because they want to be seen of men. They want to be seen of men looking really weird. Hey, I want to be just like him. I want to put a weird thing in the middle of my head that looks like a pyramid or something, and a leather like whip around my arm or something. I don't know. It was bizarre. But this is what they want to do. And why is it? So it says, he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. See, they're not supposed to be able to just look at you, your appearance, and see that you're a Jew. It's something that's on the inside. And it says, the circumcision is that of the heart and the spirit and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So it's something that happens on the inside. You know, it's a spiritual rebirth, and you're a Jew on the inside, not on the outside. It's not something that you can see necessarily. Obviously, you can probably tell when people are saved. Sometimes you meet someone, you're like, hey, I think that person might be saved. You know, you might be able to tell. Maybe by things that they say or whatever, but It shouldn't be, oh, guy's got some little curly things coming down. He's got a big Abraham Lincoln stovetop hat, and he's got a big beard or whatever. It shouldn't be that. Or he's got leather on his arm. He's got a big frontlet on his head. He's got all this weird wizard outfit on or whatever. That shouldn't be what it is. So, again, lie number two, they are Jews. No, they're not Jews. Jesus said they're lying when they say that they are. Now, Galatians 3, turn to Galatians 3. And this is like this is the coup de grace, and this is where dispensationalists just roll over the top of this passage for some reason. It's because they don't want to admit it. For some reason, they just like to gloss over this stuff. And in the modern versions, they'll replace the word seed and seeds. They'll say descendants and things like that. They won't say seed or seeds. They won't take that plural and put the singular there because they don't understand. And that's a corruption of the Bible. It's a corruption of God's word.
Yeah.
That little S being added or taken off really means something. Yeah. Look at Galatians 3:8. It says, "And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." And that thee is singular, isn't it? So modern versions will take that away too. "So then, they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. For as many are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Do the Jews keep the law? When's the last time you saw the Jews do a sacrifice, you know, on any high hill? They don't do it. Because they act like they have to have the temple to do the sacrifices. The Bible doesn't say that.
Right.
The Bible says they could do the sacrifices anyway. They can do them on high places and things like that. They're supposed to have certain things, yeah, but they could still do it. So if they're not continuing to do all things that are written in the book of the law to do them, how are they covering their sins? You know, if they're supposedly under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, they're not continuing to do those things. They're still eating shellfish. They're still, I mean, I have someone that's close to me in my family, and they say they're a Jew, and I went out to eat with them, and they ordered shrimp scampi. And then they're asking me what the difference is in the beliefs of Christians. I said, well, how are you eating shrimp scampi? I wasn't trying to offend them. But I was just like, they're like, oh, I didn't know that was a thing. I mean, that's one of the main things that people say when we talk about, you know, the death penalty and all that in the Old Testament. They're like, are you still, you know, mixing fabrics? Are you still eating shellfish? Like, it seems like unbelievers always know that doctrine. But when it comes to a Jew not knowing that they're not supposed to eat shrimp, it's like, I don't know. Wow. That just kind of blew me away. But anyway, but they're not doing the burnt offerings. So if they're not doing those things, then how are their sins covered? Look at verse 11. It says, "But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident, for the just shall live by faith." Skip down to verse 16. "Now, to Abraham and his seed," notice that that's singular, "were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ." So who's the seed? It's Christ. Skip down to verse 18. "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more a promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise. Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions." Notice this is very important. "Till the what? Seed should come to whom the promise was made." So the law was added for transgressions until the seed should come. That seed is who again? Jesus Christ. So when he came, that's who the promise was made to. And it says it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator. Skip to verse 28. It says, "There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So the covenant with Abraham is the new covenant fulfilled in Jesus Christ. And here's what people will say. "There's another covenant, brother. It's the Jews have a covenant forever for that land." If they're not living forever, then how do they have a covenant forever with it? Please explain that to me. And look, the Abrahamic covenant is the New Testament. That's what it is. It's until the promised seed should come. That is Jesus Christ's covenant. That is the covenant of faith, which we believe in. That is the New Testament. But yet you'll have these preachers that are just dispensational and the, oh no, but God still has a covenant with Israel. There's only one covenant still. Pastor Mejia hit it on the head this morning. There's only one covenant. There's only one testament. It's the new covenant. It's the New Testament. There's only one sacrifice needed. That's all there is. There's nothing else. The Jews get nothing unless they're saved. And look, that doesn't happen until the time of the Gentiles is fulfilled. 1,335 days, Book of Daniel. That's what it says. So, anyway, there is no other covenant. There is no other covenant running side by side for the Jews. That's John Hagee doctrine. It's just not true. But yet you'll have independent fundamental Baptists saying the same thing. And not just them, but a lot of people teach this. It's just garbage, folks. It's just not true. The Bible does not teach that at all. They are not Jews. We are the Jews. We are the chosen people. Line number three, they worship. Well, I'm just going to skip this one. But they don't. I'm just going to skip this one for time's sake, but they don't worship at the right place. Their synagogues are the synagogues of Satan. That's the only place. But I just don't have time for that one. Let's go to lie number four. Here's the lie that they say. They don't run all the evil devices in the world. They don't. They don't run Hollywood. They don't run the music business. They don't run all the banks. They don't run the evil things of this world. But here's the thing. Satan has given the Jews power in this world to operate how he operates. Yeah. That's just the truth of the matter. Yeah. And just like Jesus was telling them, hey, you're of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and he's a liar. He's the father of the lies. How does he operate? In the shadows. How do they operate? In the shadows. Yeah. They do the same exact thing, and then they rule the world with his power. He's the God of this world, and he's given them that power. That's what I believe. PSA, Pastor Anderson laid it out very clearly how they operate just like their daddy, the devil, on Friday night. Yeah. They get others to do their dirty work. They didn't kill Jesus, really. They got the Romans to kill him. They're just pushing and nodding, you know, nudging Pilate and saying, hey, you're no friend of Caesar's. You know, they're trying to scare him. And like basically, we're going to narc on you to Caesar if you don't kill him. And they basically got him to do what they wanted. And they go about for pity for themselves. That's what the Jews do all the time. Oh, we're just so persecuted. They're persecuted by God because of what they did.
Yeah, right.
Which is really strange because we get persecuted by the devil because he hates us. And sometimes God whoops us or whatever. That's not persecution. That's punishment, which is different. But the Jews, they're getting punished by God for breaking this covenant. And it's kind of a weird thing. It's also weird how they call themselves Jews and they don't practice Judaism. Yeah.
Right.
But they still say they're Jews. Yeah. And they're liberal. They don't believe in anything wholesome or anything like that. It's just strange. I'm a Jew, but I don't practice any of it. I don't believe any of it. I don't know. It's a strange dichotomy. But they do operate in the shadows. But then they also whine and complain. Everybody's persecuting them. They do get kicked out of countries. You know, nobody wants them there. After a while, they get sick of it. They get kicked out of nations. They get kicked out of Spain. They get kicked out of England. Then England brings them back like idiots. And then we've been tolerating them for years here. And they secretly run the banking system, Hollywood, the music industry, the porn industry. That's been talked about. And probably many other things that we will not be shocked about on Judgment Day. And the thing that is definitely true is that our government is being controlled by them right now.
Yeah.
That is a fact. AIPAC is a real thing. They're the only foreign agency that's allowed to just go to our congresspeople and have all of our congresspeople have an AIPAC person that controls them.
Yep.
It's just a fact. And now pretty much the whole Congress is controlled by them. After Thomas Massie was run out by some incumbent that nobody's ever heard of before. Yep. And we are truly cooked now. So it's true. Trump said, Trump actually went on and made a video about it. He's like, he's the worst congressman we've ever had. It's like, it's always the worst we've ever had. It's always the best or the worst with Trump. But is he really the worst we've ever had?
Nope.
The worst congressman we've ever had? How's that possible? Nope. It's not. It's just not true. And but he lost. Now he's out because he was the worst ever. And it's basically all the people that were against, you know, giving just endless amounts of money to Israel to fund their war machine. I mean, we're basically just doing their dirty work for them.
Yeah.
Now we're bombing Iran and trying to fight with Iran. And I don't know. It's just a mess. But we're basically controlled by Zionists now, pretty much 100%. They passed a bill last year, I think it was, and it was called H.R. 6090, where it passed unanimously, and only a few people went against it. Who's heard of H.R. 6090? Anybody? It's where you're not allowed to say anti-Semitic things on campuses or whatever. Anybody heard of that? If you say that the Jews killed Jesus, then they say it's only civil actions that can happen from it. But I don't know. It's you have to go to some website to see how to interpret the things in the bill. Like, it's not in the bill what it is. You have to go to the Holocaust Remembrance website to find out what is in it. It's weird. And it hasn't passed the Senate yet. It's kind of just stuck as the House. And the only people that voted against it were people that are now out of Congress. Oh, that's amazing how that works. And it was Massey and what's her name? Marjorie Taylor Greene or whatever her name is. And then Matt Gaetz. All those people are gone now. Oh, that's amazing how that works. All the people that vote against that stuff. I'm not saying they're great people or anything. I don't really know that much about them. But they weren't down with that. They actually fought against stuff like that. Which, you know, I don't agree with women being in politics like that, but, you know, Deborah was not supposed to do it either. So sometimes you just need somebody to do something. So I was looking at all 27 Republican governors signed a joint statement in support of stopping anti-Semitism for being on the rise because poor widow Israel is getting persecuted now. Look, people are just waking up to it.
Yeah.
And I believe that a lot of it is the preaching that's been done from pulpits like this.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's been a lot of heartache and heartbreak on the pastor's parts. I know Pastor Shelley can't really do anything. Everything's been basically taken away from him. He can't even get an Airbnb. What's up with that? I think he has to make up fake names and stuff. Do you have to wear, like, disguises when you go there so they don't catch you on video? We all got banned at the NASA conference from being able to use GayPal ever again. Like, I can't use any PayPal, any subsidiaries of PayPal. I think I didn't know Venmo was one of their things. They own a lot of stuff. And I think that wasn't it Elon that was the one that first came up with it and then some other faggot, right? But I was using Venmo not too long ago, and I got this message that said I have to prove my identity because there's been suspicious charges on my account. And I was like, oh, that's weird. Because all I do is buy raw milk and get haircuts with it, so that's pretty suspicious. So I sent my ID in, and then like 6 weeks later, I'm like, hey, what's up with this? And then they never get back to me. So I was like, who owns Venmo? It's like PayPal. I was like, oh, that's why. So I can never use Venmo again. So I just like deleted everything from it. But I mean, it's funny how Melissa had to make the cupcakes for the queer wedding. But, like, we can't use a bank account. Isn't that funny how that works? Like, they can do all this stuff against Christians, but Christians can't fight back and say, hey, I don't want to make some pizza for some faggot's wedding or whatever, which don't cater your pizza with, or your wedding with pizza or whatever. But, yeah. Or don't tell someone you don't want to make a wedding cake for a faggot because they're a faggot or something. Just say, oh, I can't make that cake. I can't get the ingredients or something. I don't know. I'm closed forever. We're shutting down. I don't know. So I was looking at some Facebook posts. I've seen some of these posts, and I was just annoyed by them. But one of them was, this is from a former acquaintance of ours. This one says literally hashtag Fox News. It has a hashtag of Fox News at the beginning of it. It says, the spiritual war against Israel and the Jews is real. The book, The Spiritual War Against Israel, will be out in early June. Perfect timing, right? But the spiritual war against Israel? Well, doesn't Israel have to be spiritual for there to be a war against it, first of all? Because I don't really think that they're that spiritual. Seeing how in that first week in June, they're having this big fag pride parade at the Dead Sea. It's 4 days in the desert where they're going to the literal site of Sodom and Gomorrah, where God destroyed that place that used to be like the land of Egypt. The reason why Lot picked that spot is because it was like the land of Egypt. Yeah. It looked like the land of Egypt. It was like a paradise. Right. It didn't always look dead. You didn't always get to float in it because it was like this salt sea or something. It used to be this paradise. Now when you look at it, it's desolate because God destroyed it with hellfire because of the wickedness and evil people that lived in Sodom and Gomorrah. And because there were a bunch of flaming faggots. And God heard the cry of Sodom, and he went down there to see what was going on. He sent his angels in there to check it out. And guess what? It was just like he thought it was. And so, I mean, he had to literally pull Lot out of there, kicking and screaming, basically. And then his wife gets turned into a pillar of salt. But, I mean, they literally had to drag him out of there. It's like, why? It says his righteous soul was vexed from day to day on seeing and hearing the things that he saw in Sodom and Gomorrah, but then he has to get dragged out of there. It's like Stockholm Syndrome or something. He's like, I got to be around the faggots or something. Like, get out of there, buddy. But, yeah, why are you standing up for these people? Why are independent fundamental Baptists saying, I stand with Israel? Why? Why are you standing with Israel? Yeah. Please give me a reason why you would say, I stand with Israel. Yeah. Is it because of all the innocent people that they killed last year? Is it because of all the women and children that they shot and killed and laughed about in videos? Did anybody see those videos where they're laughing as they murder people? Because let me tell you something. If someone's just walking down the street and then you're using those tactical devices to blow them up and you laugh at them, that is murder, my friend. That is murder on anybody's scale. And you're sitting there laughing about it? How sick and twisted do you have to be? And these people are like, oh, yeah, let's just make it a parking lot. Well, it is pretty much a parking lot now. Gaza is. That's evil. And for a Baptist or any Christian to say, I stand with Israel, and how are you going to go stand with Israel when they're mocking and throwing it in God's face as they throw a fag festival, a faggot party at the site of Sodom and Gomorrah, and then just act like that's okay? Oh, I stand with Israel. I don't stand with them. I don't want to be anywhere near them when they're in that place. I'm not going on a tour over there. Why would I do that? I don't want to be anywhere near that cesspool. Sick, demented freaks. I don't want to stand anywhere near them. You know what? If you start off your Facebook post as hashtag Fox News, you got problems. Why don't you start off with, you know, an address in the Bible first? Instead of just Fox News and all this stupid politics. What has Trump done since he's taken over? What has he done? Oh, the economy is I'm going to turn around lightning fast. How much is gas now down in Texas? I don't even want to hear it because it's probably way less than it is in Washington. What is the gas prices here right now? Somebody tell me.
$4.
Is it four?
Four.
What? That in Texas?
Yeah.
Say it ain't so. Ours is like over $5. It's like close to $6 a gallon.
Yeah.
That hurts.
Oh, yeah.
But didn't we just take over Venezuela?
Yeah.
It's like, we got their gas. Yeah. Who's got their gas? I don't got their gas. Maybe it just costs a lot of money to take over a country. I don't know. I thought that they just rolled up and like shot some water hoses at him or something and like took it over. When are we going to reap the benefits of this taking over the biggest gas, you know, all this gas stuff? I heard that the prices are going to go up in the summertime. It's like, good night. But, you know, look, here's another post from this guy. 2 years ago, the three most prominent Putinistas in the USA were Matt Gaetz, Marjorie Taylor Greene, and Thomas Massey. They thought that they owned the GOP and that President Trump would do their bidding. They thought that they could destroy Israel. Now their political careers are all burnt toast. It is a good night. Well, it's a good night when people that are trying to stop our country from being sold into Israel, the last people that would want to stop this from happening, you're happy about that?
Wow.
Because some people love Israel more than they do their own country. This whore nation.
Yep.
We're the whore being used.
Yep.
We're whoring around with this nation. And you know what? It's just sad. It's sickening. This is an independent fundamental Baptist. And I don't really want to give names, but you know, Phil Stringer is the guy. Who's preached at this church. Sorry to name names, but I'm not sorry.
Yeah.
And look, the guy's saved. And he does good stuff on the Bible. Cool. Praise God. That's awesome. But, you know, his Israel stuff has gone overboard.
Right. Yeah.
And I know he's saved. I believe he's saved. Look, I'm not saying he's not. But is that the only people we ever call out by name? People that aren't saved? No. Sometimes we have to call them out. Listen to this one. Pastor Oz, I don't know if you mentioned this one, but you might have. What do Adolf Hitler, Herbert W. Armstrong, Zoran Mandami, Louis Farrakhan and black Muslims, Joseph Stalin, Ilhan Omar, Tucker Carlson, George Lincoln Rockwell, the American Nazi Party, Rashidi Tlaib, Candace Owens and the second and third versions of the Ku Klux Klan, Ayanna Pressley, Marjorie Taylor Greene, the Aryan Nation, Megyn Kelly, Matt Gaetz, gay conservative Nick Fuentes, the organized LGBTQ movement, Steven Anderson and the new IFB, the Democratic Socialist of America, George Armstrong, the Roman Catholic Church, the Orthodox Church, Hamas, the Mad Mullahs of Iran, Hezbollah, Osama bin Laden, Al-Qaeda, every synagogue bomber and shooter, ISIS, the Free Palestine Movement, and Benito Mussolini have in common? Everybody, just everybody. They may have different theology, morals and tactics, but they all hold the same fantasy-based, bizarre, absurd ideas about the history of Israel and have made those ideas a central part of their message. If the Khazar theory is historically and genetically disproven myth, and it is, that's what he's saying, then they have made a ridiculous screed a key part of their message. If the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion is a plagiarized, fictional, racist novel originally written in 1865 and later appropriated by an anti-Semite, Tsar, and the Russian secret police, and it is, then they have made a satanically inspired lie a fundamental part of their message. These lies promote violence and hatred. Christians should know better than to fall for this dangerous nonsense. This is Phil Stringer.
Wow.
So we have all that in common with all those people. Didn't you guys know that? With all the mullahs and the Khomeinis and all the Muslims, terrorists, and all this other stuff. What a stupid thing to say.
Yeah.
What an idiotic thing to say.
Yeah.
I mean, he should be ashamed of himself. Yeah. That's slander.
Yeah.
Slanderous, it's a lie. Maybe he just should know what we actually believe.
Right.
I've actually had conversations with them about this stuff. And really, the only difference is that they believe that all Israel shall be saved at the very end. I mean, think about it. He doesn't believe, because I've talked to him about this. He doesn't believe that the Jews that don't get saved the way we do right now are saved. He doesn't believe that. I've talked to him at length about it. So if they don't get saved the way we believe, so we believe the same thing. If they don't get saved the way we believe, then they're not saved. Okay. So they believe that when Jesus comes back, they're going to look at the holes in his hands and go, oy vey, like he was saying this morning, right? Oy vey, we were wrong. And then they all get saved, right? But didn't Jesus say that a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign?
Right. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So how is that in line with what Jesus said? Uh-huh. He's just letting them do that like years later, 2,000 years later or 2,500 years later or whenever he comes back? No. They would have to believe just like we believe.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
And that's what I told him when I talked to him about it. I was like, we believe the same thing. They have to get saved just like you. We just believe that, you know, there's a remnant that gets saved right now, just like you would believe. And we just believe that, we just don't believe that part of it. We believe that they still have to just get saved the same way that we get saved now.
That's right, yeah.
That's it. Yep. We believe different timings of the rapture. So what's the big deal? Why is it such a big deal to them? Because, I mean, we believe in the same salvation. But that's just a big sticking point. We're so bad. We're like Hitler. We're like Mussolini. We're like all these different things. It's weird.
Yeah.
I believe that Jews still will get saved at a very small rate. Their eyes are blinded, the Bible says.
Yeah, right.
They're blinded, and they will not be able to see until, you know, until the times of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. They won't be saved until that point. All Israel will be saved at that point. That's the people that have already been saved and the very few remnant that get saved now. Like Pastor Mihi was talking about earlier. So what's the big deal? Why do we fight about all this? They don't believe they're going to say, you know how many people he told me he got saved? They have this big Israel like outreach at his church. I forgot what the name of it is. But I asked him, how many Jews have you seen saved in this ministry since you've been doing it? You know what he said? One.
Wow.
Saved and baptized. One. Yeah. One. How many thousands of dollars do you think go to missions for Israel? I knew a missionary to Israel. That's probably the right number, Pastor Shelley. I mean, think about it. Think about how much money gets wasted sending it to there.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, I knew a guy named Brian Stewart. He was probably the whitest missionary you could ever think of. And when he went over there to be a missionary, I don't know what lies he had to tell to get there, but he was white as the driven snow. And he went over there and he got some disease and never did get to minister over there. He just, I don't know, it's almost like God didn't want him to go there for some reason. I don't know. But yeah, they only spit at you. You only have to get spit at once. It's not that bad, right? Anyway, so look, it's ridiculous. It is ridiculous. How much all these Baptists and all these Christians put their time and waste their energy into all this political garbage.
Yeah.
It's just, why don't you just go get people saved?
Yeah.
Stop worrying about the Jews so much. And let's move on here. Let's look at Deuteronomy 31, verse 28. I really can't see the clock. Let me look over here. Oh, man, I got lots of time. Plenty of time. Okay. Well, what did Moses think of the children of Israel? When he was about to die, he kind of wrote a little song. It was in Deuteronomy chapter 31. He starts to talk about it here. It says in Deuteronomy 31, verse 28, it says, "Gather me unto me all the elders of your tribes and your officers, that I may speak these words into their ears and call heaven and earth to record against them. For I know that after my death you will utterly corrupt yourselves and turn aside from the way which I have commanded you, and evil will befall you in the latter days, because you will do evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger through the works of your hands." And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended. So he tells them this little song. Now, we don't have time to go through the whole thing. It's a long song. It's like 52 verses or something like that. Pastor Shelley, have you gotten here in your Bible study yet? No, you haven't gotten it. Oh, you still got to get there. Okay. Well, I won't spoil the whole thing for you. But let's go to verse five. So he basically tells them all the blessings he's given them, how he's led them on eagle's wings, and he's taken care of them and everything. There was no strange God with him. In verse 5, he says, they have corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. They're a perverse and crooked nation. This is what Jesus said about them also. Skip to verse 15. It says, but Jeshurun waxed fat and kicked. Thou art waxen fat. Thou art grown thick. Thou art covered with fatness. Then he forsook God, which made him, and lightly esteemed the rock of his salvation. They provoked him to jealousy with strange gods. With abominations provoked they him to anger. They sacrificed unto devils, not to God, to gods whom they knew not, to new gods that came newly up, whom your fathers feared not. Of the rock that begat thee, thou art unmindful, and hast forgot the God that formed thee. And when the Lord saw it, he abhorred them because of the provoking of his sons and of his daughters. So these aren't the children of it. These aren't his saved people, are they? They're provoking his sons and his daughters. So these are the fake Israelites. It says, and he said, I will hide my face from them. I will see what their end shall be. For they are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities. And I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Who's that? That's us. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and it shall burn unto the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. And I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger, and devoured with the burning heat, and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them, with the poison of serpents of the dust. The sword without and terror within shall destroy both the man, the young man and the virgin, the suckling also with the man of gray hairs. This is a pleasant song, isn't it?
Yeah.
I said I would scatter them into the corners. I would make the remembrance of them to cease from among men. Were it not that I feared the wrath of the enemy, lest their adversaries should behave themselves strangely, and lest they should say, our hand is high, and the Lord hath not done all this. For they are a nation void of counsel, neither is there any understanding in them. Oh, that they were wise, that they understood this, that they would consider their latter end. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight, except their rock had sold them and the Lord had shut them up? For their rock is not as our rock, even our enemies themselves being judges. So yeah, their God is not the same God, is it? For their vine is of the vine of Sodom and of the fields of Gomorrah. Their grapes are grapes of gall, and their clusters are bitter. Their wine is the poison of dragons, and the cruel venom of asps. Is not this laid up in store with me and sealed up among my treasures? And look, you know that song, Mary, Did You Know? Have you ever heard that song?
Yeah.
Mary, did you know? It's your baby boy. You know that song?
Yeah.
Well, you could say that about Moses, too. Moses, did you know? The children of Israel, I'm not going to sing that. I don't want to sound like that guy that Pastor Shelley debated and ruined it, you know. But did Moses know that the children of Israel were going to betray the Lord Jesus Christ?
Yeah.
It sounds like he did, because this is the last song that he sang, and then he was like, oh, he was like Yoda. After Luke asked him too many questions, he's like, oh, you know. Yeah, Moses knew. Mary knew too, by the way. But Moses knew too. He knew exactly what kind of rat fink people that they were. And he told them right to their face before. He's like, let me sing this little song to you. God's going to spend his arrows. He's going to wet his glittering sword and take revenge on them. And he's like, y'all never listen to me anyway. I'm dead. All right, let me just stop. It's true. And all, you know, look. Moses, did you know? Yeah, he knew. He wrote a song about it. And we're probably going to sing that song in heaven someday.
Yeah.
And all these I Stand With Israel, Fox News Baptists, they love to justify how they stand with Israel. I'm so sick of it. Yeah. It makes me sick every time I read that. It just makes me want to block people.
Yeah.
Block, 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 block. It makes me want to stay off Facebook permanently. Yeah. I've been off of it a lot. When I get on there to look at it, it just makes me mad. So, I just don't understand how people can stand with Israel when they're so stinking evil. Moses said it. He said they're going to be these vile people, and God's going to take vengeance upon them. So, lie number five. He only loves them, and the rest are goyim. That's what they think. They think that God only loves them. Is that true, though? Absolutely not. One day, the Jews will bow down and worship us instead.
Right.
And one day, turn to Revelation 3:9. You've already turned to this many times, I'm sure. But Revelation 3:9. Behold, I'll make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I'll make them to come and worship before thy feet and to know that I have loved thee. Don't they just love to say how much they're loved? Oh, we're the apple of God's eye. Oh, no, I know I'm going to heaven because we're the chosen people. Hey, even our own camps say it. They're God's chosen people. No. They're no longer God's chosen people. They're not God's chosen people anymore. Jesus says right here that he's going to make them come and worship before our feet and to know that I have loved thee. Who's he talking to? He's not talking to the Jews here. Well, he is. He's talking to the real ones.
Yeah.
He's not talking to the fake ones. So they think that God doesn't love us. They think that he only loves them. They liken us unto cattle. They think that Jesus is going to come and kill everybody. He's going to kill all of us when he comes back. I just listened to this clip that Pastor Anderson put up that was from his Marching to Zion movie. And they're like, yeah, he's going to come. It's not going to be that bad, though. He's going to come and kill everybody. It'll be a good killing, though, or something. You know, I can't remember exactly what he said, but it's just like, it won't be that bad, though. He's just going to kill everybody, though. It's like, that sounds pretty bad. That's what the Muslims think, too. But, you know, Jesus is going to kill them. That's what really is going to happen. So, but, you know, they'll call us goy. And when they say it, they're not saying it because, really, goyim is just a Yiddish term. It just means, like, Gentiles or nation. It doesn't mean anything bad. But when they say it, that's not what they do mean it in a derogatory term. They are meaning it that way. They do think we're like cattle. They don't think that we're worth anything. They think that God only loves them. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Verse 11, it says, wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, in so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. Look, there's no difference. He knocked down that wall of separation between us. He loves us. He came and made sure that we could be just as close to him as anybody else. There's no difference between us. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. There was a time when we didn't have the access that we have now, but now we can go right straight to the throne room of God with our prayers in Jesus' name, and we can talk to the Father. We don't have to go to some priest. We don't have to bring some animal to an altar. We can go right to God the Father through Jesus the Son, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." Who's he talking about there? The people of God were Israel, but he's not talking about Israel here, is he? He's talking about, well, he's talking about Israel, the Israel of God in the New Testament. So, because he's repeating something that was in the Old Testament, but he's talking about the nation of Israel. But here he's talking about New Testament people. Romans 10, verse 19. Romans 10, verse 19. And here he's going to be quoting Moses in the Old Testament. But Paul is quoting scripture that we already just went over. But Romans chapter 10, verse 19, it says, "But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation will I anger you." It's just quoted from Deuteronomy chapter 32. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, "I was found of them that sought me not. I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long have I stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people." He's tried. He's worked real hard. But they just would not. He's always stretching forth his hand, but they just slapped it away all the time. And guess what? We're benefits of that. Most of the people in this room, I would say, are probably not Jews by nature. All right? Bunch of Gentiles in here. Bunch of Gentile dogs. But you know what? God loves us. And we were ripe for the gospel. And thanks to the Apostle Paul and the people that were with him, you know, this whole world got evangelized. And we're still getting evangelized. And we're still evangelizing. So, and how many people in here are ethnic Jews? Raise your hand. I rest my case. Lie number six. They say they follow Moses and the Torah, but they don't believe Moses at all. Right. Turn to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. Jews don't believe Moses concerning Jesus Christ. In fact, they really don't believe the Bible at all. As you probably saw in the movie Marching to Zion, if you've seen that movie, I mean, what was it, six rabbis were interviewed, and they basically just confirmed that they don't really believe anything in the Bible.
Nope.
They don't believe Genesis. They don't believe, I don't think they believe in hell. I don't think they believe anything really biblical at all. John chapter 5 verse 44 says, "How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. There is one that accuseth you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. But if you believe not his writings, how shall you believe my words?" Thank you, Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 18. They didn't, you know, he's just saying, like, you trusted Moses? Because, I mean, isn't that telling that he's just saying, you trusted Moses? They didn't even trust in God. They want to trust in Moses, and Moses is there just battering him in Deuteronomy chapter 32. And then he's battering him right here in Deuteronomy chapter 18. It says, "I will raise them up a prophet from among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth, and he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. And who's he speaking to right there? The Jews that will not believe in him. Jesus is that prophet that Moses is talking about here. So when Jesus said he wrote of me, what's he talking about? He's talking about this passage right here and probably other passages, obviously. So that's lie number 6. Lie number 7. So they don't believe in Moses. They say they believe in Moses. They say they believe in the, you know, in the 5 books of the law, but they don't even believe any of it. Jesus smoked them on that too. You don't even believe Moses. You don't believe me. Lie number 7, they say that Jesus wasn't their Messiah. That also is a lie. Jesus was their Messiah, and they are antichrist and liars. The Bible says he came to his own received him not. And he also says, one will come in his own name, him will they receive. They will receive the Antichrist. Pastor Shelley was preaching about that the other night. Turn to John chapter 4. John chapter 4. A lot of times Muslims will say, he never said he was the Son of God. He never claimed to be the Messiah. Yeah, he did. But here's where he straight up just says he's the Messiah right here. He doesn't say, I am the Messiah, but he basically does right here. John 4:25, the woman at the well. The woman saith unto him, verse 25, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he.
Yeah.
I mean, is that him telling her that he's the Messiah?
Yeah.
Okay, now turn to 1 John 2, verse 22. 1 John 2:22. So they say he wasn't the Messiah, but Jesus said he was the Messiah. You know what? I believe the word of God. I believe what the Bible says. I believe that every word of it is true. And I don't worry about the book of Enoch. I don't worry about any other stupid book that doesn't belong in there. I know that I have all the books that I need, all 66 of them. I don't worry about the ones that aren't in there because they don't belong in there. 1 John 2:22 says, who is a liar but he that denieth that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist that denieth the Father and the Son. Whosoever denieth the Son, the same hath not the Father, but he that acknowledgeth the Son hath the Father also. So, hey, the Jews do not believe that Jesus is the Christ. He said he was the Christ, John chapter 4. It's acknowledged in John chapter 1 that he's the Christ. They said, we found Messiah. The Messiah, which says that it's interpreted that Messiah means Christ. Jesus, the Christ, means Messiah. He is the anointed one. He's the one that God said he was going to send. He's the one that they were waiting for. But, see, they just wanted to take the kingdom for themselves. That's what it really boiled down to. Everything that Moses said about them was actually true. And they were a generation with no faith. They were a generation with poison. They're a generation of vipers and bitterness, and they were wicked. But if someone says that Jesus isn't the Christ, they're Antichrist, and they deny the Father, they deny the Son. They don't have the Father if they don't have the Son. So they say that Jesus wasn't the Messiah, but they're wrong about that. They're liars and Antichrist. So, you know, in reality, again, they go about for pity, whining and complaining, my Holocaust and all this other stuff. But in reality, they've done it to themselves. Yeah. God said what was going to happen to them, that they'd be cursed and they'd be vagabonds in the earth. And that, you know, that when they wake up in the morning, they wish it was night. When they go to bed at night, they wish it was morning. And that, you know, that everything was going to be hard for them.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's what happens, stupid, when you don't obey God.
Right.
That's their problem. You know, so God tried to do everything. He worked with them. And they're just children without faith. God said it was going to happen to them. That's what happened to them. You're whining about it now, but, you know, you should have listened. So God, through Moses' mouth, sang to them about it, and they still didn't want to listen. You know, and again, growing up as a kid, this is the way I heard that, you know, they believe the same God, but it just wasn't true. I was told Hitler just didn't like them because he was racist. Well, you know, I'm not saying Hitler was a good guy or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But there was other things he didn't like about him that were true. See? But The truth is, you know, look, there was the first, like, they were they had, like, places where they were turning people into trainees in Germany at that time.
Yeah.
They had a bunch of faggots around there, too. Look, and God is not happy with that. He wanted those faggots to be put to death, just like he does today. Yep. Look, and like Pastor Mahia was saying today, they're a faggot nation.
Yep.
Tel Aviv is the biggest fag spot in the world right now.
Yep.
And, you know, God feels the same way about it today as he did about it back then. Look, they're going to have the biggest fag festival, and they're bragging about it. I mean, talk about mocking God. But the truth is, you know, Adolf Hitler didn't like them because of their horrible predatory lending practices, and nobody likes that. And people just hate them and dislike them because of the predatory things that they do. They morally corrupt people. And Jesus explained to us why they do this, because they're of their father, the devil. And the religion of the Pharisees is not the system of the Old Testament that was set up in the Bible. That is a lie, too. They don't do sacrifices, even though they could. They have no way to atone for their sins. They don't keep the law. They don't believe the Bible. Jesus said that he cursed them because they didn't produce fruit. They're cursed. They're silenced before the multitudes. They're humiliated over and over again. And the Pharisees were just, you know, they were offended because, what? Because Jesus shut them down over and over again. They always try to trick him. They always try to say things that would trip him up, and it just didn't work. How are you going to trip up the Son of God? How are you going to trip up God? How are you going to outsmart God? Just didn't work. In Matthew chapter 21, verse 43, the Bible says, "Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof." It doesn't belong to them anymore. The kingdom does not belong to Israel anymore, unless you're talking about the true Israel, the Israel of God, a nation brought up in all nations, where people are saved all around the world. It's the nation of spiritual Israel is what is the nation that he brought, that he gave it to. So it's made up of all people that are saved, right? And Jesus condemned their leaders. He rebuked them in Matthew chapter 23, calling them false teachers and reprobates, murderers and liars. And when you mess with his churches, you know, you're messing with the true apple of God's eye. And obviously, you know, the devil's going to seem to win at some point, but ultimately we win. Amen. We know what the Bible says at the end, and, you know, they're going to be judged and destroyed, and we're going to win, and we will have the kingdom. Amen. So, but, you know, we always seem to, you know, whenever we preach against the fags or whatever, it seems to be some sort of a big fight that happens. It's like when Paul threw that fag in the fire, and the snake came out and bit him, you know, and that bundle of sticks he threw in.
Yeah.
And the snake came out and bit him.
Yeah.
It's like whenever we do that, we seem to have all these fags and stuff attack us, and it's the devil attacks because what? We're attacking his people, and that he uses the Jews, he uses the fags, but they're all just one big bundle,
yep.
You know? And so when we attack the nest, he gets upset and he attacks us back. And we shouldn't be surprised when these things happen. When we preach against the Sodomites, Satan's going to attack. When we preach against the Jews, Satan's going to attack because that's his kingdom. And he doesn't like his kingdom being attacked. So, you know, that's all I got. There's plenty more lies that I could have dispelled, but I'm not going to try to preach till kingdom come. Oh, it's a good time. All right. Well, just remember, you guys, God is on our side. He loves us.
Amen.
And the Jews are liars. All right, let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for this great conference. Thank you so much for Pastor Shelley and his wife and his family and Steadfast family. Lord, for putting this on. I appreciate his friendship. I appreciate all the hospitality. Thank you so much for all the hospitality, the hard work that's gone into this. I know there's just too many people to thank and name. But, Lord, we're thankful for all the things that have been a blessing to us here. And thank you for the great preaching. And we ask that you just bless us now and keep us safe as we go our separate ways. And we ask that you just help us to hide your words in our heart, that we might not sin against you. And, Lord, that we'd also keep this doctrine in our heart, that, Lord, people wouldn't be able to trick us with these Jewish lies. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Great sermon. I just want to make a few announcements. We're going to sing our last song this evening. We had 275 in attendance this evening, so that was great. And since we smashed our conference record this morning, we had 383. We're going to have ice cream after the service. So we saved you some ice cream before dinner. That's the best way to have fun. I am going to ask tonight, since it rained so much, that we're not going to go through these doors. We're not going to open up our patio because there is a lot of standing water. So I apologize about that. But please don't go this direction if you just go out our front doors whenever you need to exit. And what I learned tonight in tonight's sermon is that Moses is Yoda. So that was really important. We do have a baptism this evening. So stick around with us for that. And I really want to just thank again all of the visitors that have visited our church. Thank you so much to our church for all of the work and all the effort you guys put in. I also want to thank all of our guest preachers. And if you haven't said so already, please do thank all of our guest preachers. And, you know, it's sometimes difficult to take unpopular stands, you know, believing replacement theology. A lot of people get mad at you. And, you know, coming to a conference like this, they can get a lot of heat. And probably the most, you know, dangerous thing you can do is being my friend. So I really appreciate it. You guys still being willing to be my friend. And I really appreciate everybody for coming to our conference. We're going to sing one more song, and then we'll have a baptism, and then we'll have some ice cream. So we're singing the Battle Hymn of the Republic, 437. 437, Brother Brandon's going to lead for us.
Man, page 437, Battle Hymn of the Republic. Page 437, sing it out loud with us on that verse.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling up the victors when the grapes of wrath are stored. He has loosed the faithful lightning of his terrible sword.
We have Brother Jason coming for a baptism this evening. Brother Jason, have you trusted Christ your Savior?
Yes, I do.
Then I baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, buried in the likeness of his death, raised to walk in newness of life. Make sure to congratulate our baptism. We'll be handing out ice cream for everyone. God bless you. You are dismissed.